Hello and thank you for being here. This is your host, Positive Phil, with the Positive Phil Show. Are you ready to get positive? I'm excited about this show, excited about you. Hope you're building life with a smile, building business with a smile. Choosing to be positive and having a grateful attitude is going to determine how you're going to live your life. Yes, it gets deep in here. But the water's warm, and I appreciate it. Today on the show, Jason Nazar. He is one of the most influential tech entrepreneurs and investors in California, across the land. Currently co-founder, CEO of Comparably. Comparably is an awesome online platform that makes workplace compensation and culture dramatically more transparent. It actually enables employees to see what their peers are getting paid and publicly rate their employers. I like it. He's a main contributor for popular business magazines such as Fortune, Business Insider, Inc., Forbes, Wall Street Journal. He sold his last company, DocStock, to Intuit for a reported $50 million. Ambitious. I like this guy. Visit jasonnazar.com. That's his personal website. And comparably.com. Let's listen to a clip of our conversation.
You are doing it. You are my favorite right now. I am. This is awesome. Are you proud of yourself? Like what you've built and the people around you? You have to be.
I really don't think about it in terms of being proud of myself. I'm proud of what our company is accomplishing. That's what I'm proud of. I'm proud of the fact that, you know, there's a really great group of people I get to work with every day, that they make a lot of sacrifices themselves, that I know that they all care about how we're going to be helping other people in their career. And I'm proud of the results. So when I see, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of people use our product and sign up for our product and start to get value in terms of understanding how much they should get paid, and they go on Twitter and they say, you know, oh my God, I didn't realize this was the gender pay gap, or I just got a 28% raise because I came to Comparably, or when I see people telling stories, you know, publicly about how they found a better company to work for, or when I hear people that work in HR companies talk about the fact that they're able to better understand their culture now, and they're able to see what their sore spots are and what they're doing well at because of our product. That's what makes me proud.
Man, I'm proud of myself for booking great people, kind people, ambitious people. We celebrate entrepreneurship here on the Positive Phil Show. Let your voice be heard, positivephil.com. Our Twitter handle, @PositivePhil. You know, words have power. They can change. You know, there's a creative power in our words. Every day I like to start the day and I record my voice at night. Self-declared positive declarations over myself, over my family and the situations that I face. And I truly believe you should do the same thing. I would encourage you to make positive declarations over yourself, over your family, and over the situations you face. Don't let negative words come out of your mouth. Don't use your words to describe your situation. Use your words to change your situation. I believe you will see your life and your family and your situations begin to change. I am blessed. I will bless others. I will do my best. I will help someone do better. Those type of declarations. Attitude of gratitude. I love that. Attitude of gratitude. Repeat after me. Attitude of gratitude. I'm grateful for what I have. And I'm also grateful for what I don't have. Some of the things that I wanted in the past, oh my goodness, I'm glad I didn't get them. You never know. But we always have to be thankful for what we have. Choosing to be positive and having a grateful attitude is going to determine how you're going to live your life. Let's put our hands together for Jason Nazar.
You sold your last company, and now you're building more companies. What motivates you to keep building companies and creating success?
I think, you know, it's a lot of the same things that motivates everybody else, whether they're an entrepreneur or not. I really love getting to do things that I'm passionate about. I like trying to solve difficult challenges. You know, I think in our case, with Comparably, our latest company, we're really trying to, you know, change the way people think about monitoring their career. And so we've built the platform to let people monitor the job market to find the best career for them, to find out how much people like them are getting paid at their work, and to publicly see how employees are rating and reviewing companies, including their own. And so, you know, I really love getting to work with a team that we're building and, you know, trying to build a big business that helps, you know, both a lot of employees and companies.
Co-founder, CEO of Comparably, entrepreneur in residence for the city of Los Angeles. What does that mean? The entrepreneur in residence part.
Well, Mayor Garcetti really supports the tech community. I think he, you know, mirrored what a lot of VC firms do, where they bring an entrepreneur in residence. And so for this last year, it's been, you know, I was appointed by the city and by Mayor Garcetti. And the purpose of the role is to liaison between what the city government is doing and private businesses, specifically entrepreneurs and the tech community, of which, you know, I know and focus on. And, you know, I put on this massive event just a couple weeks ago where we did the largest ever tech job fair in the history of LA, between myself and the mayor and his office. And we had actually 12,000 people show up. And hopefully, you know, hundreds of people are getting jobs from it. So that's been, you know, my role, and I think that will be wrapping up in the next couple months, and, you know, I'll be full focused on Comparably and, you know, how to help all your listeners out in their career.
Why is that important to you, to help people?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty broad question. Hopefully it's important to everybody to help people.
It's,
you know,
not,
whether it's
not as a business.
Your family.
Sometimes people, you know, I mean, this, I should rephrase that. Why this type of business, to help people with their jobs?
Yeah. Well, my last company that I think a lot of people know about was DocStock. We were the largest ever content site for small businesses. So I started it in 2007, sold at the end of 2013. We had 50 million members all across the world. We would do 30 million people a month coming to our website. And that company was really all about helping people start and grow their small businesses. And I spent a decade of my life writing and speaking about, you know, how to help people that are trying to start companies. And that was really meaningful, and I'm always going to be passionate and driven about trying to help fellow entrepreneurs. But, you know, I'm also passionate about trying to help companies of all sizes, and more importantly, you know, people that work in the company of all of those sizes. How do you really have a rewarding career? You know, how do you find the jobs that are the best fits for you? How do you know what it's like to work at those companies? How do you know how you should be getting valued as an employee? And, you know, to the heart of your question, why, you know, I want to personally try to be able to affect change. And we all spend the majority of our time, you know, in work efforts for the most part. And if, you know, I can be a small part of, you know, making that time that people spend more rewarding and helping them find a better fit and helping those folks get more aligned with their purpose, then I feel like, you know, I'm doing what I should be doing professionally.
You're on the right path. Is this path difficult right now for you?
It's challenging, yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime anyone's starting a new company, it's fraught with challenges, but that's what makes it fun. You know, the fun comes from the fact that something is hard. You know, the best analogy I can give is, you know, I, for the first time ever, started playing golf a year and a half ago. I've, you know, played basketball and tennis my whole life. I'm an avid sports fan, and I love golf, but I'm horrible at the game. But it's fun because, you know, I'm trying to learn, you know, all the different parts of it, and it is so challenging, and I am so bad. And I kind of think of startups in the same way. And I think that's a big characteristic, honestly, of people that, you know, are successful in a startup environment, whether they're the entrepreneur or co-founder or not, is that you have to have fun and embrace the fact that it is going to be difficult. There are going to be challenges. You have to celebrate the little wins along the way. But if you don't get excited by the fact that the challenge is going to be daunting and difficult, then, you know, it's easy to get worn down by the path that you're on.
Absolutely. How do you build a successful customer base? Do you have any tips out there?
Well, I don't think there's any magic bullet. It always starts with, you know, this phrase you hear in tech a lot, product market fit. You have to be doing something that's compelling and different and better than what other alternatives are. And often things that are the most simple to start are the ones that are the most successful. You know, besides that, I think you do need to have clever marketing hooks. You know, it's not always the best products early on that get the most notice. It's the products that are the best marketed. Now, over time, you can market a product amazingly, but if it doesn't really meaningfully help somebody with something that they're trying to solve or that they're going through that they want to have, then, you know, how you market it won't make a difference in the long run. You know, for example, at DocStock, we built such a large user base primarily through search traffic. So DocStock, you know, received an enormous amount of traffic from Google. And because we were a user-generated content site where people would upload their own documents, we had this really interesting mechanism where, you know, we relied on the community to contribute content. That content then got indexed in search engines. That search engines drove traffic. So it was this, you know, growing snowball that went down a mountain. Things like that will continue to help grow comparably. But right now, for example, you know, we're just all over the press. We publish, you know, all the time new stats on what's going on with compensation. For example, you know, what's happening with the gender pay gap. We publish all sorts of data around workplace culture. So, you know, I think people are just consistently seeing and hearing about us in the news, and hopefully we've built a product that as people sign up for it, you know, often hearing about us on, you know, a great show like yours, they start to tell their friends and coworkers, and, you know, it starts to spread virally that way.
Oh, I'm telling everybody. I think it's great what you're doing here comparably. Has your life as an entrepreneur affected, like, let's say, your family life? Because sometimes that happens.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was a post I wrote, I want to call it 6 years ago now, called The Unintended Consequences of Startups. It got republished on Wall Street Journal, and it was really talking about the first 2 years. You know, when I was in my 20s, I had gained, you know, 45 pounds, which honestly, I'm still trying to work off a lot of it. I stopped seeing friends and family. I, you know, really just led a very different lifestyle where I was at the office every day until 2 a.m. I didn't really do much. I got sick all the time. And I think, you know, if for anyone that's devoted themselves obsessively to reaching an outcome, whether that's around starting a business or, you know, pursuing, you know, an outcome, whether it's, you know, athletically or intellectually or, you know, even in relation to trying to help somebody, you know, in your life that may be sick, a lot of things, you know, fall by the wayside. And it's very easy to get out of balance. It's very easy to neglect either your health or your relationships. And that's the constant challenge of startups. You know, I think one of the things I've really kind of come to understand and I try to tell people is if you're going to pursue trying to start your own company, you shouldn't try to optimize for balance in the short term. You know, there's certain things that I'm going to now have for the rest of my life and freedoms that I'll have because I was out of balance for, you know, about a decade while I was trying to start a company and it had success. And so I think, you know, if your highest value is balance, that you want well-evened and well-proportioned time to be able to go towards work and family and relationships and, you know, health and, you know, hobbies and different intellectual pursuits, that's great. It just may not be perfectly in line with being able to start a successful business. I think when you start a business, you have to make some sacrifices and commit to a while to be out of balance in the short term. And then the trade-off is in the long term, hopefully you get some, you know, freedoms or benefits that you may not have otherwise have gotten.
What is your favorite aspect of being an entrepreneur?
Building a team. building the team and trying to lead that team successfully. All of the happiest moments come from, you know, when you're in a trench together, when you're really trying to help the outside world, that, you know, the moments where you're working late together, boxes of pizzas all around the office, you come up with some idea that gets really exciting, and then the group of people try to, you know, go put it together. I would say the reward is in seeing the value and benefit to the customer. But for me personally, where I am actually the happiest, it's those moments that, you know, things are just really gelling with the team that you're building, you know, and you feel like you're in it together, where it's a small group of people either taking on some big incumbents or trying to improve the world. You know, those are the things that I think are most special.
What do you look for in those team members that you end up hiring? Passion, people that are ambitious?
All of the above, yeah. I'd say that the first and foremost thing that I always look for is people that have just really good character and that aren't in any way an asshole. You know, I think that just there's no place in, you know, in the companies that I build for anybody that either finger points or blames or doesn't want to go the extra mile to help somebody. I think the second thing that I look for is people with an intense work ethic and a drive to succeed and to want to win. You know, I like people that are competitive. I like people that, you know, want to debate out ideas, that want to take responsibility, that want to get more responsibility. And then I think the third thing I look for is, you know, a real passion for wanting to help that end customer and consumer, you know, that that they care about the people that we're trying to help and that they stay focused on their situation, their problems versus our situation and our problems. You know, and then you round that out with just having a high bar for talent. You know, so if I can find somebody that I know is a good person and not an asshole, that, you know, is genuinely going to care about the end user, that is really hardworking and driven, and is super talented and is really good at what they do, then that's how I know I found my person.
I bet you have a great corporate culture over there.
I hope so, and it's like anything else. You know, corporate culture to me is a lot like, you know, marriage. You have to work on it all the time. It's not good just because it is. Like, it starts with the people, and that's half the battle. But then, you know, you've got to make sure you're over-communicating, and when problems do arise, they need to be addressed quickly. And, you know, you've got to try to make sure to accommodate and listen to what people want while also being able to have a bit of a backbone and say, hey, here's the direction we're going. And, you know, for a period of time, we all got to get on board. So I'm proud of our company culture, but I still think there's a lot of room to improve. And, you know, for a company like Comparably.com, where we rate other companies' culture, you know, we better have our shit together. You know, you don't want to throw stones in a glass house. So
you seem like, just by your voice and the words that are flowing from your mouth, that you're a peaceful person. Are you at peace? You feel good? Your spirit?
That's a really interesting question. I would say I definitely, you know, go to sleep each night with no regrets. You know, I think I personally am really lucky where I get to do what I love. I get to work with a great group of people. You know, I've been fortunate to have success in, you know, my last company. And I'm around really smart, engaging people all the time that I get to learn from, you know. And I think one of the things people tell you about me is that I've always tried to act, you know, extraordinary ethically, try to do right by people. I don't think, you know, there are folks out there that feel like they've been done wrong by me or my company or anything like that. And so from that standpoint, I think I have got peace. You know, there's no, you know, demons or anything that I go to bed with every night. But, you know, I'm obsessed about how to try to make this a business that helps, you know, hundreds of millions of people all over the world. And so from that standpoint, probably not the most peaceful, because my mind is just always racing with what do we need to do as a company next to get better? How do we help more people? How do we grow more? How do we, you know, monetize and build a big business? And I think you have to have a bit of that obsessiveness as an entrepreneur, as a leader, and channel it towards, you know, action and execution and results. So, and I think I'll be that way the rest of my life. I'm not sure, and you know, no matter what I do, that you know, my brain or perspective will be any different.
Sometimes I think to myself, if I had a great company, a successful company that I sold for a bunch of cash, I would probably just chill out for a while. But then I talk to people like you, and it's a different story. You just keep going, keep building. I mean, you're writing your own blog posts, you're scheduled, people are hiring you to speak, you have this company. I mean, you probably work throughout the day. How far are you willing to go to succeed? Just keep going, keep building?
I think in my case, pretty far. You know, there was a brief period of time after I sold DocStock, and once I left Intuit, I was there for about a year, where for about 3 months, I really hadn't kind of started anything new yet. And it was a pretty great time. I mean, I enjoyed those 3 months. I got up each day and I didn't have a plan of what I had to do. I, you know, probably like most of us, obsessively check email, you know, dozens of times a day. And I would look at my email literally once a day. And that period of time was nice. You know, I'm not going to say, some people say, oh, you know, I would get so bored after 2 weeks. It wasn't boring. It was really relaxing. It was nice to mentally not have to be thinking and worrying about something. But I think after a period of time, it's just not the person that I wanted to be. You know, I think for me, after about 3 months, I started to feel like, well, I've got these different skills and talents. I want to do more to help people out. I want to build a brand that, you know, really people relate to and helps them out in their careers and helps out companies. You know, I'm driven to achieve more, you know, in lots of different areas of my life. And I think that, you know, that was the motivating factor to want to continue to start more businesses. You know, it's also the fact of the matter is venture-backed startups are a bit of a young person's game. And I don't mean to be ageist about this. I'm 38 years old now, but, you know, it just requires so much energy and attention and focus and so many hours that it's hard to do as you get into your, you know, mid to late 40s and your 50s. Now, what you have is you have all this wisdom and you know what to, you know, what alleys not to go down. You often know how to, you have a larger network of people and talent you can call upon. You know, but that's often why you see folks like that in, you know, a board role, because it's just so much raw energy and horsepower that you need early on in a startup to get it from the nothing exists phase to something exists to, you know, a bunch of people are using and paying for this thing that didn't exist, that you just need to have a lot of hours and energy and attention and focus. So I think part of the calculus for me too was, you know, realizing that, you know, if you think of yourself as, you know, an athlete in their prime, you know, LeBron James often talks these days about the fact that he's got a couple years left in his prime and he wants the Cleveland Cavaliers to do everything they can as an organization to get him the players around him to maximize his time while he's in his prime. I think I a little bit felt that way in the context of starting something from scratch. You know, I realized I was at a phase of life where, you know, for the next 5, 6, 7 years, I could still really devote a ton of energy and time into the startup game. And that's what I wanted to do. I mean, I still don't leave the office most nights before 11. I work until about 2 a.m. each night. That's hard to do as you get older and older in life.
I like you. You are doing it. You are my favorite right now. I am this is awesome. Are you proud of yourself, like what you've built and the people around you? You have to be.
I really don't think about it in terms of being proud of myself. I'm proud of what our company is accomplishing. That's what I'm proud of. I'm proud of the fact that, you know, there's a really great group of people I get to work with every day, that they make a lot of sacrifices themselves, that I know that they all care about how we're going to be helping other people in their career. And I'm proud of the results. So when I see, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of people use our product and sign up for our product and start to get value in terms of understanding how much they should get paid, and they go on Twitter and they say, you know, oh my God, I didn't realize this was the gender pay gap, or I just got a 28% raise because I came to Comparably, or when I see people telling stories, you know, publicly about how they found a better company to work for, or when I hear people that work in HR companies talk about the fact that they're able to better understand their culture now, and they're able to see what their sore spots are and what they're doing well at because of our product. That's what makes me proud. What makes me proud is the results of helping folks that we get, and knowing that it's this great group of people I get to work with every day, you know, that are driving those results. Those are the kinds of things that make me feel pride.
Man, I'm proud of myself that I'm able to chat with people like you and share your story. Seems like, and you're in Silicon Beach. Are you in California?
We're right in Los Angeles in Santa Monica, and we're right by the beach. We're on the 3rd Street Promenade, two blocks away from the beach, and it's a beautiful sunny day here right now. So it's a nice advantage that we have.
Comparably,
you know, you talk about all these things like you're extremely complimentary. You know, I think most people would agree. You know, a lot of things feel very negative. The tone of the discourse in the world right now in our country is very heavy and very negative. And I think a lot of times, you know, having voices like yours that focus on, hey, what's positive, what's good, maybe our similarities outweigh our differences. Maybe we should be focused more on what's working and what's positive than the things that it's easy to just look at in front of us that we're unhappy about. You know, I think if more people had your outlook and your point of view, whether they were so deliberate about it or not, you know, I think this would be a lot happier, more peaceful, more congenial, and probably, you know, just all around better world. So I think voices like yours are super important.
You are awesome. Thank you so much for saying that, Jason, because sometimes it seems like this is a hard path. Why am I doing this? But I feel like this is my passion. I just need to contribute a little. And this phrase, why are you gazing down at the sewer when there's loveliness all around you? I had a gentleman on the show. He's a director and producer. He has a television series on Netflix called The Kindness Diaries. And, you know, there is negatives all around, but man, there's so much beauty, and it's good to promote that beauty. How can we find you? You have a blog, right? JasonNazar.com.
Yeah, JasonNazar.com, at JasonNazar on Twitter. I write for Wall Street Journal and Forbes and Business Insider and Fortune at different times. You can just go to my blog and get that writing, and then sign up for Comparably.com, and you'll probably get, you know, emails from me from time to time talking about, you know, how you can advance in your career and get a raise and negotiate for a better salary and find the job of your dreams. I'm a pretty easy person to find online.
Yes, you are. You're all over the place in terms of, it looks like you're keeping yourself busy. Give me a high five through the microphone, Jason. I do appreciate you being here. Yes!
That was a couple high fives.
Oh, you made me smile. Thank you so much. And I'll see you around. If you're ever in San Diego, let's meet. And if I'm ever in Santa Monica, definitely knock on your doors and give you a big old hug. I appreciate you being on the show.
Sounds like a deal. And keep up doing what you're doing. It's super valuable, and I know you're helping a lot of folks.
You're awesome. Thanks, man. You made my day.
Thanks, Phil.
Bye, Jason. There you go. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to one another. Visit Comparably.com. Did you guys enjoy that? What a great guy, huh? All right, thanks for being here. PositiveFill.com.